artificial intelligence, machine learning, deep learning, voice recognition. It's all coming with exponential progress. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.
It's a test designed to provoke an emotional response. Shall we continue? Describe in single words only the good things that come into your mind. About your mother?
My mother?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my mother.
Vivek Wadhwa is a fellow at Stanford's School of Corporate Governance. He's also director of research at Duke University's Engineering School and a syndicated columnist at The Washington Post. Earlier this week, we spoke about his take on embracing or fearing, or both, of artificial intelligence. Could you give me your name and title you would like me to use on the air, and then we'll get started?
Vivek Wadhwa. I'm a fellow at Stanford Law School and a professor at Duke University.
I'm wondering about the recent article you had in the Washington Post having to do with artificial intelligence and its time maybe coming around the corner finally, because I don't know, I've been hearing about it most of my life.
Yeah, Jason, we've been hearing about it since we've been kids, and it was always the promised land, this big, amazing thing that would change the world. But you know what's happened in the last 2 or 3 years is that there have been so many breakthroughs that finally it is happening. In fact, we thought AI was dead. AI isn't dead. AI is everywhere. AI is in the traffic control systems that guide our planes. It's in our cars. I mean, it's going to be in our cars. It's going to be driving our cars. It's in Siri. I mean, it's in almost every analysis that companies are doing of large amounts of data. It's being used in many different ways right now. And it's not exponential yet, but it's advancing on a very steep linear curve, doing more and more.
Right. And more applications and more companies being built up around it. We'll get back to the economic part of it. As I was reading the article, I couldn't help but hear a bit of, I wonder if you have a bit of concern, maybe shared with, you know, Elon Musk and Bill Gates have come out saying, hey, we got to really just make sure we watch this a little more closely than maybe what we've been doing. Because I think that we might get a little early adopter fear, if you will. Are there any things that need to be addressed in that area for you?
For the next 5, 10, 15 years, we're in great shape. It's going to be a lot of fun. After that, it's going to get to the point that when you talk to an AI, it's going to be hard to tell whether that's a human being or a computer you're talking to. I mean, already now, you know, when people dial for customer service, you know, they don't have to do the prompts the way they did before. Before, you'd have to press all these numbers and so on. Now you can talk to it. But soon, it'll be conversing back with us, and we really won't be able to tell the difference between a human being and a computer. And then we're also going to have these robots that are being built. They're a whole new generation of you know, household robots, like pets, that, you know, right now are cutesy. I mean, they're still imperfect, but give it 2 or 3 years, and they'll start seeming more and more pet-like. We'll become more and more attached to them. And then they'll start getting smarter and watching everything we're doing. So, yes, this is where the fears are coming from. This is why Elon worries about what we're creating over here, and why Stephen Hawking talks about this being, you know, the last big breakthrough we might make. Because if it keeps advancing at the rate it is, I mean, you know, 20 years from now, we could unleash a monster that we don't understand. It's not really a monster. It could be an amazing new, you know, genius, something that guides us. But we don't know. We're creating a new species without understanding what it is. Imagine, you know, the apes tried to conceive what a human being would be like. They couldn't even imagine us. This is what we're creating.
Right, right. I always like to remind people, too, that, you know, in the Terminator, it was humans versus robots. You know, the humans did win eventually. So we'll see if we can stay along that path.
What futurist Ray Kurzweil believes is that rather than being us versus them, we're simply going to be augmented by AI. That we'll be uploading our intelligence and be able to download nanobots that go in and program our brain and add to it. It's like being connected to the internet. So he thinks we'll become one with it. So he said that's why there's no reason to worry. Frankly, I have no clue. I mean, I don't know where it's going to take us. All I know is that in the short term, we have many opportunities to enhance ourselves and to use it to better us. And leading to your next question about the economic opportunities, that we're gathering so much data right now. Everything we have is gathering data. I mean, we're gathering data at an unprecedented pace, and we don't have the ability to analyze it. I mean, even our cars, the self-driving cars. I mean, I have a Tesla, which drives itself on the highway. You know, people don't believe that self-driving cars are here. When I'm on the highway, I put it into autosteer, and the car simply takes me to where I need to go. It sort of changes lane when I tell it to. It worries about speed, and the car is also gathering data, gathering information like we've never seen before. So far, we have not had the ability to analyze it. What artificial intelligence allows us to do is to analyze all of these data, even medical data. There's massive amounts of medical data being gathered right now with genomic sequencing and sensor devices that we have. AI will analyze it. It'll understand it better than any human being can, which means it can better our health. We'll soon have apps on our phone, which are our doctors. Literally, you know, you'll have Siri basically saying, hey, Jason, you fat slob. You don't need to eat the extra piece of pie. Don't do it. You'll get fat. You know, that's the type of dialogue we're going to have with our AIs, with our phones, because they're going to get smarter and smarter. So they'll be guiding us on our health. They'll be guiding us on our lifestyle. They'll be helping us live better lives. We'll have much more information that can be used for commercial purposes, which will make processing better, which will make shopping better, traffic control better. So a lot of benefits come from this as well in the short term.
So when you turned on autopilot for the first time in your Tesla, tell me what that felt like. I mean, I'm sure that you've had full confidence in everything, but for the first time for something like that had be a bit of an experience.
It was a bit of an experience because it just said, oh, my God, I held onto the steering wheel very tightly. But that lasted about 10 minutes or so. After 10 minutes, I let go of the steering wheel and said, let's see what happens. And you know something? The car was making better decisions than I could. And then I started checking emails. I don't tell the cops I did that, but I other side, I had one hand on the steering wheel and the other hand on my iPhone, and I was checking email. So it took me about 20 minutes to become comfortable with it and to trust it to do, you know, routine things. Well, now, they do the exit for me. It won't decide when to change lanes. It'll just obey when you tell it to do it, but it's going to get smarter and smarter and smarter.
If you were listening to NPR at the same time, Vivek, you just became a stereotype for Silicon Valley, I think.
Right.
Legally speaking, any hurdles right now, or are we just still in discovery phase for the next 5 years?
No, the laws can't keep pace with technology. There's so many technologies advancing. Our lawmakers don't understand. In fact, the people listening to this don't understand the magnitude of change as well. How are we going to develop policies when there's no consensus on what's good and what's bad? Laws are essentially codified ethics, and ethics are a consensus that's developed over generations sometimes. So here we don't understand not only AI, but also all the other advances. You know, within the next 2 or 3 years, we'll most likely be having drones delivering our morning latte. We'll wake up in the morning, touch an app, and ask Starbucks to send over our morning latte. It'll be on our patio when we want it. Now, that same drone is going to be capturing data also. It's also going to have AI in it. It's also going to have cameras and sensors on it. It's going to be watching what we do. What happens if we just happen to be coming out of the shower when that drone is there? Now, I don't have to worry about that, but there are a lot of beautiful people who would have to worry about, you know, their footage being captured and, you know, God knows what could be done with it. So there are no laws about how we can use the images that are being captured. Our cars are also going to be capturing data. I mean, the Tesla is uploading information to the Tesla cloud, basically, on our driving patterns or where we are. But soon we'll also be recording everything that happens around the car. So, you know, the privacy of other vehicles is gone. We know who did what to whom and so on. And then robots, and we have robots at home which are intelligent in this manner. They're going to be recording what we do. They're going to be watching us. They're going to be uploading to a central service run by Google or Microsoft, whoever owns the robots. They're going to be capturing information about lifestyles. Well, we don't even know this stuff is happening. How are we going to develop laws? Mm-hmm. That's what the scary thing is that this is happening a lot faster than our ability to understand it or to regulate it.
Thank you a lot for your time this morning, Vivek. It's been very enlightening. Much appreciated.
All right, anytime, my friend.
That's Vivek Wadhwa from Stanford and Duke.
In a distant future, in an age of intelligent machines, he is the first robotic child programmed to love and coexist as a member of a family. His is a tale of humanity and a journey to find his place among humans and machines.
I'm a boy.
You are a real boy. At least as real as I've ever made one.
Coming up after this break, we have veteran venture capitalist Philip Engelhart.
San Francisco's second gold rush, which is prime location and prime time for anybody in their 20s and 30s, why you'd want to be anywhere else on the planet at this particular moment is a mystery.
We'll talk about more than just VC money and maybe glance at investment in Africa. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics, Please. Stick around.